The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from the North Carolina Reading Service, be kind whenever possible. It's always possible. Tenzin Gyatso, G-Y-A-T-S-O, 14th Dalai Lama. Thank you to the Raleigh Kiwanis Club. On Friday, February 2nd, 2024, Liz Elliott represented NCRS at the Kiwanis Club of Raleigh Awards Ceremony. We are grateful to be one of the nonprofits chosen to receive a grant. Thank you to the Raleigh Kiwanis Club for their generous donation to NCRS. Save the date. Then please join us September 13th, 2024 for our new Visions Gala. This fundraising event will take place at the Glenwood Ballroom at the Crabtree Marriott. More info to follow on our website soon. The image has a beautiful Save the Date invitation. New Visions Gala benefiting the North Carolina Reading Service, Friday, September 13, 2024, Glenwood Ballroom at the Crabtree Marriott, 4500 Crabtree Marriott Drive, Raleigh. Sponsorship opportunities are now available. For more information, contact Liz at ncreadingservice.org or call 919-832-5138. NCRS welcomes our newest volunteer. Thank you to our volunteer trainer and volunteer reader, Susie Pratt, P-R-A-T-T, for training our newest volunteer, Tom Bolton, on the how to use the soundboard. NCRS welcomes Tom to our awesome group of volunteers. Tech tips and reminders. Please note there has been a dimmer switch installed for the outside light. The light will come on automatically in the evening and early morning. The on-off button on channel 4 in the live studio needs to be on at all times. If it is off, it switches NCRS to the Talking Information Center in Massachusetts. We have been hearing some editorializing on the live broadcasts. Remember, all news is read as printed. Please leave the TV guide in the live studio. The PM readers also read the TV guide on their shift. Thank you. The NCRS Board of Directors, Greg Suggs, President, Iris Green, Vice President, Sharon Benton, Secretary, Jim Cronin, Treasurer, Daryl Gordon, Lori Graves, Brandon Hare, Craig Hayward, Kim Otten, Robert Parrish, Patricia Sykes, Matt Toler, past president George Douglas, co-founders Ben Eason, deceased, Dr. Ed Funkhauser. Contact NCRS staff, May Tran, executive director, May at ncreadingservice.org, Missy Hollander, production and volunteer manager, Missy at ncreadingservice.org, Liz Elliott, development coordinator, Liz at ncreadingservice.org. NCRS will be closed for Easter weekend, March 29 through March 31, 2024. We wish everyone a happy and safe holiday weekend. From the National Association of Blind Students Division of the National Federation of the Blind at nabslink.org. Welcome to the registration form for the National Federation of the Blind, National Association of Blind Students, 2024 Midwest Student Seminar. Embrace the quest, experience the now. Taking place March 22, 2024, 5 p.m. to March 24, 2024, 12 p.m. Central at the Holiday Inn Chicago O'Hare area. 5615 North Cumberland Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60631. Room accommodations. Room cost, one room with two queen beds, $99 a night. Room reservations can be made in either of the following ways. Call 800-465-4329 or 773-693-5800 and use our group code, National Federation of the Blind Student. Go to www.hioharre.com and type in the group code NFB. Room reservations should be made before March 15th, 2024. Nearest airport, Chicago O'Hare International, ORD. As blind students, we are encountering unique daily realities that often remain unrecognized or misunderstood by the people around us. The National Association of Blind Students is thrilled to invite you to embrace the quest, experience the now, with us as we explore these shared experiences with students from all over the region. It will be an engaging weekend packed with opportunities to challenge your perceptions and network with blind peers and mentors alike. You can expect a mix of interactive activities, thought-provoking conversations, and riveting presentations, with topics covering everything from securing accommodations to finding identity as a blind person. Ultimately, this journey promises to empower you to identify new ways of living the life you want. Regardless of where you are in your education, we hope you'll join us for a weekend of growth and fun. The National Association of Blind Students prioritizes its members' health and safety in all of its events. For the safety of all participants, we ask that if you are feeling ill, please remain home. These policies are consistent with the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois' policies on in-person gatherings. We are also committed to keeping all members safe. As such, we follow the code of conduct recommended by the National Federation of the Blind, which requires all event participants to be over the age of 18 for this residential program. Alternative payments. We in no way, shape, or form want finances to deter student attendance. If the $100 registration fee stands in the way of your attendance, or you have any other questions about the registration process, please reach out to NABS Treasurer Hunter Kuester, K-U-E-S-T-E-R, by phone at 920-285-8530, or by email at HUNTERKUESTER2@gmail.com. If you are paying with a check, voucher, vendor, or Zelle, please select the option Pay via Check, Voucher, Vendor, or Zelle, and you will receive further payment instructions. Please note that the deadline to complete this registration form and its accompanying payment is March 15, 2024. We will not be assigning roommates for this event, and you will be responsible for booking your own room through the hotel. By checking this box, I certify that I give the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, and its presenting division, the National Association of Blind Students, NABS, permission to use my name, likeness, image, voice, and or appearance, as such, may be embodied in any pictures, photos, video recordings, audio tapes, digital images, and the like, taken or made on behalf of the 2024 National Association of Blind Students Midwest Seminar, or any of its related activities. I understand that the National Federation of the Blind and National Association of Blind Students has complete ownership of such pictures, etc., including the entire copyright, and may use them for any purpose consistent with the National Federation of the Blind and the National Association of Blind Students' mission. These uses include, but are not limited to, illustrations, bulletins, exhibitions, videotapes, reprints, reproductions of publications, advertisements, and any promotional or educational materials in any medium now known or later developed, including the Internet. I acknowledge that I will not receive any compensation for the use of such pictures, etc., and hereby release the National Federation of the Blind and National Association of Blind Students, their agents, and assignees from any and all claims which arise out of or are in any way connected with such use. By checking this box, I certify that I have read and understand the expectations of the National Federation of the Blind's Code of Conduct. I affirm that I will, throughout the duration of my attendance of the 2024 National Association of Blind Students Midwest Seminar, conduct myself with the outlined principles of the Code of Conduct, facilitating positive interactions with my fellow attendees. I also affirm that I have visited the National Federation of the Blind's webpage and have reviewed the Code of Conduct, which can be found at https://www.nfb.org/about-us/history-and-governance/code-conduct. I certify that I have read the above message and understand/agree to the National Federation of the Blind's Code of Conduct. Midwest Seminar registration fee, $100. Payment method, PayPal, NABS, pay via check, voucher, vendor, or Zelle. And that is that. From Forbes.com, NASA urges U.S. public to listen during April 8th's total solar eclipse and report back. Article of Jamie Carter, posted February 13th, 2024. The NASA-funded Eclipse Soundscapes Project will measure how the rapid onset of darkness, etc. That's a caption to the photo of grasshoppers looking at the moon. April 8th's total solar eclipse will not only be something you see, it will be something you experience on many levels. Part of that is the sights and sounds of how insects, animals, and nature react to sudden totality. As at many of the eclipses I've witnessed, I've seen cows return to the barn as the light levels gradually fall, cicadas build to a cacophony and then fall silent during totality, and birds panicking as quote-unquote night begins when they least expected it. Sound of eclipses. Eclipses are often thought of as a visual event, something that you see, said Kelsey Perrett, P-E-R-R-E-T-T, communications coordinator with the NASA-funded Eclipse Soundscapes Project. We want to show that eclipses can be studied in a multisensory manner, through sound and feeling and other forms of observation. April 8th is an opportunity like no other. On that day, over 30 million people in the U.S. already live within the path of totality, the track of the moon's shadow as it sweeps across the planet, despite it being just 115 miles wide. That's compared to 12 million people that lived within the path during the last total solar eclipse in the U.S. in 2017. Cue a large-scale citizen science project, which will seek to collect the sights and sounds of a total solar eclipse as recorded by members of the public. The end result will be, scientists hope, a better understanding of how an eclipse affects different ecosystems. Impact of the eclipse. Data collectors recruited for the project will use a low-cost recording device called AudioMoth, available for $97 from LabMaker, to capture the sounds of animals, birds, and insects, especially crickets. One question researchers want to answer is whether nocturnal and diurnal animals act differently or become more or less vocal during a solar eclipse. The more audio data and observations we have, the better we can answer these questions, said Perrette. Contributions from participatory scientists will allow us to drill down into specific ecosystems and determine how the eclipse may have impacted each of them. However, participants don't have to have a tech background or spend big. Anyone, including blind or low vision people, can participate as data collectors by using an AudioMoth or as observers by writing down their multisensory observations and submitting them to the project website after the eclipse. Unique opportunities. Eclipse Soundscapes is inspired by and based upon a similar study that showed animals and insects were affected by a total solar eclipse over the northeast reaches of Canada and the U.S. on August 31, 1932. During that study, 498 personal observations were collected from game wardens, naturalists, and members of the general public. It proved that animal behavior and soundscapes change during a solar eclipse. Eclipses have always presented scientists with unique opportunities to learn about our solar system, said Mary Kay Severino, co-lead of the Eclipse Soundscapes Project. The Eclipse Soundscapes Project is not only an opportunity for NASA to gather a large amount of scientific data, it's an opportunity for our participants to learn about the eclipse in a multisensory manner. Engaging eclipse experience. The project for the 2024 eclipse comes in the wake of similar experiments in 2017 when scientists tracked the movement of bees during and on either side of totality in 11 sites across the Pacific Coast, Rocky Mountains, and Midwest of the U.S. They placed microphones in flowering bushes that acoustically monitored bees and revealed that they stopped flying during totality, not because of a drop in temperature, but because of the lower light levels. The intention of this project is to make the total solar eclipse an engaging and enjoyable experience for everyone, said Dr. Henry Trae, T-R-A-E, Winter, co-lead of the Eclipse Soundscapes Project. We are excited to invite the public to participate in this opportunity to perform real and meaningful scientific research as equal participants. For the latest on all aspects of April 8th's total solar eclipse in North America, check the main feed on Forbes.com for new articles every day. Wishing you clear skies and wide eyes. From Perkins.org, digital math. Help us build math best practices. Seeking high school students, college students, TSVIs, and general education math teachers to participate in this critical digital math research. Editor's note, digital math is a hot topic. Math teachers and students with vision have a plethora of available math-related applications and authoring tools to choose from. Unfortunately, TSVIs and students with visual impairments have limited accessible digital tools and currently lack digital math best practices. There is critical need to develop accessible digital math best practices for TSVIs and their students. Please help us by sharing your experiences to learn what digital math tools are being used successfully and share this research study with other stakeholders. We are conducting a research study approved by Florida State University and the University of South Carolina's IRB boards to explore how individuals with visual impairments, both high school students in grades 9 through 12 and college students, use technology to participate in math learning. The technology includes both mainstream technology, for example, tablets and computers, and specialized assistive technology for people with visual impairments, for example, braille note takers, video magnifiers, JAWS, and voiceover. We are asking for your help to advertise our study. We are seeking four groups of individuals: high school students with visual impairments in grades 9 to 12, enrolled in an academic math, for example, algebra or geometry, who use technology at school and work with a teacher of students with visual impairments; college students with a visual impairment at least at a 2 or 4 year college or university, who have had a math class within the last 2 years and who use technology at college. College students may have had a visual impairment in high school or acquired it post high school. Teachers of students with visual impairments who have 3 years or more of teaching experience and have one or more high school students who use technology in math class. There is a hot link for recruiting high school math teachers letter. General education math teachers who have a student with a visual impairment in grades 9 to 12 with a visual impairment in their academic math classes, for example, algebra or geometry, and who have taught math at the high school level for 3 years or more. Individuals who wish to participate can go to the recruitment form at the hot link or copy and paste this link into your web browser. https://fsu.qualtrics.com/jfe/form/capital S capital V underscore D N capital D E M number 4 capital Q capital N capital P number 6 capital Y 5 capital G small q capital W. Please share the attached flyer that explains the study in more detail with those who wish to participate. Thank you. Signed, Michael Tuttle, Ph.D., Florida State University. L. Penny Rosenblum, Ph.D., Vision for Independence, /University of Arizona. Tina S. Hertzberg, Ph.D., University of South Carolina, Upstate. Adelaide Kelly Massoud, E.D.D., Perkins School for the Blind, College Success at Perkins. Leslie Thatcher, Perkins School for the Blind, College Success at Perkins. Tina S. Hertzberg, Ph.D. And there's another hot link for the Paths to Technologies homepage. From NewsObserver.com, posted February 13th, by Martha Quillen, Quillin. The CDC is changing its advice on isolation time for those who may have COVID. What to know? The CDC plans to ease its guidance on how long people need to isolate after they test positive for COVID-19, according to reports. Here's what to know. What would change? The Washington Post reported Tuesday that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has briefed state health officials on a plan to drop its advice that people isolate for 5 days after testing positive for COVID-19. The agency hasn't posted the information on its website, but Summer Tonizo, T-O-N-I-Z-Z-O, in the communications office of the NC Department of Health and Human Services confirmed by email that the NCDHHS is aware that the CDC is considering a change in guidance for isolation related to COVID-19. We will consider how we may change our guidance in North Carolina if and when new guidance for the CDC is finalized. The Washington Post said the new guidance would be the same as for people infected with the flu or RSV. With the flu, the CDC says, people who get a fever should stay home for at least 24 hours after their fever, a temperature of 100 degrees or more, is gone without the use of fever-reducing medicine. Because not all people who get the flu have a fever with it, The CDC also says anyone who has suspected or confirmed flu and no fever should stay home 4 to 5 days after the onset of symptoms. People with flu are most contagious in the first 3 days, the agency says. With the flu, household members who aren't sick should watch for symptoms, but if none appear, they don't need to confine themselves to home. For RSV, the CDC doesn't set a number of days that people should isolate to prevent infecting others. It just says, stay home when sick. Why would the CDC make this change? The CDC's guidance on prevention has changed several times since the COVID-19 pandemic began in 2020, reflecting growing understanding of the virus, vaccine and treatment development, and acknowledgement of how willing or able the general public is to conform to restrictions. Present guidance from the CDC is that if you are sick and suspect you have COVID-19, isolate until you have test results. If you test negative, you can end your isolation. If you test positive, stay home for at least 5 days and isolate from others in your home. If you must be around others at home or in public, the CDC says wear a high-quality mask. Researchers say people with COVID-19 are the most infectious during the first 5 days. If you do get COVID-19, vaccinated or not, health officials say to seek emergency care immediately if you develop trouble breathing, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, new confusion, inability to wake or stay awake, pale gray or blue skin, lips or nail beds, depending on skin tone. How prevalent is COVID-19 now? In the week before the most recent report, February 7th, 688 people were admitted to hospitals across North Carolina with COVID-19 infections. NCDHHS says North Carolina continues to see high levels of flu and COVID-19. Vaccinations are the best way to prevent serious illness, hospitalization, and death from these infections. Vaccinations are especially important for those at higher risk of severe viral respiratory disease, including people aged 65 years and older, children younger than 5, pregnant women, and those with a weakened immune system, and those with certain medical conditions such as asthma, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. COVID-19 waxes and wanes the same as other viruses and continues to create new variants, some of which are more contagious than others, the CDC says. The agency reported last year that by the end of 2022, most people in the U.S. age 16 and older had developed some immunity to COVID-19 as a result of having had the virus or from being vaccinated against it, or both. If you need a free COVID test, the state has a searchable page that lists places where free COVID-19 tests can be picked up. The federal government announced in November that households could get 4 more free COVID tests by mail. If you haven't already requested tests since then, you still can at COVID.gov. The expiration dates on some previously issued tests have been extended. This story was originally published February 13, 2024. Martha Quillen is a general assignment reporter at the News and Observer who writes about North Carolina culture, religion, and social issues. She has held jobs throughout the newsroom since 1987. Published February 22nd in the Charlotte Observer by Evan Moore, M-O-O-R-E, Nationwide cellular outage affects AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile customers. What to know in NC. A cellular outage is affecting thousands of AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile customers Thursday morning, with customers unable to make calls, send texts, or access the Internet without Wi-Fi. The outage affects thousands of customers in North Carolina. Nearly 63,000 AT&T customers reported outages, according to DownDetector.com, a digital service tracking site that provides data on self-reported outages. A combined 5,100 customers from Verizon and T-Mobile also reported outages, according to the site. Some AT&T customers in the southeastern U.S. have been unable to place 911 calls due to the outage, CNN reported. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department shared on social media Thursday morning, CMPD is aware of a nationwide outage impacting AT&T cell phone customers this morning. Customers were briefly unable to contact 911. There are no disruptions to our call center's ability to receive 911 calls. Service should be returning shortly. It is unclear what is causing the drop in service. The companies did not immediately respond to CNN requests for a comment on the outages. What does SOS on phone mean? Many customers without service are showing an SOS message on phones where cell bars are typically shown. The SOS message means the device is searching for coverage, but customers should still be able to make emergency calls, Fox 35 Orlando reports. Using Wi-Fi without cell service. Customers without cell service should be able to text if on Wi-Fi, but may not be able to make calls. Texting in case of an emergency. Customers without cell service who are connected to Wi-Fi can text 911 in the event of an emergency. Enter the numbers of 911 in the to field and include a brief message with the location of the emergency and type the type of help you need. Then press send. The City of Raleigh recommends that those who text emergency services be prepared to answer questions and follow instructions from the 911 call taker. Keep your messages brief and concise. Avoid the use of abbreviations and emojis. CMPD is aware of a nationwide outage impacting AT&T cell phone customers this morning. Customers were briefly unable to contact 911. There are no disruptions to our call center's ability to receive 911 calls. Service should be returning shortly, as reported on X, formerly Twitter, by the CMPD. This is a breaking news story and will be updated as more information is available. The Evan Moore is a service journalism reporter from Charlotte Observer. He grew up in Denver, North Carolina, where he previously worked as a reporter for the Denver Citizen, and is a UNC Charlotte graduate. I have not heard anything about this year's Easter egg hunts for the blind children of the area or the state, but this little tip comes from the NOPBC Facebook group from Carrie Smith. We do beeping eggs at Easter, but veteran blind mama hack, buy the key finders with the remotes on Amazon and put one in a plastic egg next to eggs with treats inside. We have found it disorienting to have all of the eggs beeping at one time. With this remote, you can just have one beep at a time. We tie a jingle bell on the ribbons of gifts at Christmas so they can shake their presents and get excited for them like siblings with sight. And cooking, they taste each ingredient as they add it. We actually do go look at Christmas lights. We just describe them and drink hot chocolate and listen to Christmas music. I haven't yet figured out how to help enjoy dying Easter eggs. He just doesn't. We've run out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-8255.